tonight, so that's not what's on.
These are 90% grants, so you'll see the cost will be 10% higher than the revenue.
Which line is that?
The line is...
I got page 80,
is that
right?
Call two.
You know, actually, if you look at what we handed out, we have a revised airport budget.
But to answer your question, it is page 80 of the document you got last week. That sums up the two cost centers in the airport.
are you looking at the imaginary?
Yeah, this should be up at the imaginary.
The airport fund is toward the back, Fund 402, but I've got the title page for each of the funds. There's a significant change between what you received last week. This is the major errata in this budget document, the proposed budget document. We're going to take a break. We have water for each of you, and we'll go ahead and...
May I ask what the timeline is going to be for the airport manager? Do we have any kind of a timeline for that?
We're in the recruiting process. We've received several applications. We've asked for additional applications on 8 of them. They were due yesterday, and we got 7 back, and so we'll begin a more formal process from here on in. But I suspect it'll be closer to July 1st by the time we get some of them.
Okay. And then that person will step into the job and take over this budget, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm still looking for that airport improvement on this new page.
Yes, and if you go to airport operations, 4210, okay, so that'll be the second page of the airport.
Oh, 4210.
Ah, okay. That's airport operations. Just as a reminder to the committee, the airport has two functions. It has airport operations. That's maintaining it to the Part 139 certification. And then the second part service we provide is a fixed-base operation, and that's selling fuel, essentially selling aircraft fuel. So if you look under 4210, which is airport operations, up near the top, line item 4299, or excuse me, it's 4225. And it says aviation grant. That's $108,000. And that represents AIP, Airport Improvement Project Funds. That's a federal pass-through. And those are now 90% reimbursable grants. So this is the revenue associated. That's 90% of the revenue for that project. And if the cost...
The cost is $120,000. It's included in other parts.
It's included in the 6099 professional and technical services. That line item, $212,000, in that is the associated cost for that project, which is a $120,000 project.
Will there be some reduction in that if we get the CY funds?
No, that's a separate project. That will be a FY14 project.
Oh, okay.
No, this is
going to
be a general question. What happens to the salary savings from that open position that we're doing this fiscal year? Does it stay in the airport fund, or they go into this carryover?
It'll stay within the airport fund, and it'll roll up into the beginning fund balance of next year.
Are we complying with all of the compliances we have to make at the airport? A couple of years ago, we had some serious problems.
Yes, actually, and this will be reported to the council on Monday. We had an FAA report, and we only had 2 corrections to make. One was a tabletop exercise that we had scheduled for the 22nd of this month, and the second correction was moving some signs, taxiway signs in, and that's part of this project, AIP project, we have funded for. So those were the only 2, and compared to a couple of years ago when we had pages and pages of corrections, it's a credit to our airport staff for being able to.
The inspection occurred without our manager.
And incurred without our manager. So that shows how well they were trained.
Very good. Also, could you just bring us up to date on the usage of the airport? Who's using the airport now? What type of aircraft are you using it? Do we have much use of it at all? Is there anybody flying in and out? We don't know.
I guess I could tell you in terms of fuel sales. Our fuel sales are up this year, particularly avgas, and avgas are the smaller aircraft, so smaller personal people are personal planes are using our airport. We're still doing good on our Jet A, which is the larger aircraft. That's also on the increase, but more dramatically is the smaller airplanes.
We don't have any professional air contracts at all now.
No, we do not.
We have any military contracts, touch and go?
No, we do not. We don't sell enough fuel to qualify for, to be able to sell fuel to them.
Okay, fine, very good. You had a question, Dave?
I understand that an employee just quit recently. Is that position going to be filled, or?
That has been filled already.
It has, correct. Yes. Okay.
Are there any other questions on the airport fund?
Yeah.
David?
What was the total cost on the movement from the Mount Noah to the airport? Just the whatever movement you want to call it. What was the total on that? I think the budget is 75. Was that?
I want to say we ended up around 64 or something like that.
And we got everything done as far as compacting the material, because I think our cost was going to be getting it ready in case someone wants to utilize it. Is it ready to go as far as if someone wants to move there, it's there and it's ready to go, or it's still necessary?
No. All we ended up doing was stockpiling the material on site because there was too much unsuitable material where we wanted to place the site, and we would have overran the contract significantly. So we only took out some of the unsuitable material and rather spent the money bringing in good material. So when they develop the site, it's on site and ready for them to go with the good material. But there's still some grading that they'll need to do in order to use it.
That's all in Public Works, not in the airport plant, right? That all that transaction wasn't in the airport.
The money for that was budgeted within the airport fund of last fiscal year.
This is.
And there was a transfer of $50,000 from, was it? We used some money from somewhere
right.
else. Part of that. I don't remember where the other revenue source came from.
And it did come out of the airport fund. So when you say stockpile, that's different than what I think was mentioned to the council when we first move forward on this. Wasn't there something more than just stockpiling it in mind when we actually talked about the 75,000?
Yes, and actually, if you recall, this question was brought up by the council
right.
after the fact, and what our response was that the cost to remove the fill would have used essentially most of the money, so it would make more sense to get as much fill as possible on site, which we did, and so now it has more value because it's there. I mean, that was an engineering judgment that we made, and we explained this to the council.
Well, actually, I thought we were going to do more than just stockpile it on site. I thought we were actually going to compact it and actually make it more user-ready rather than just stockpiling it.
The intention was to subcut down to suitable material, then bring the material in, place it, compact it, get density tests on that material, and then cap it so that when they came in to develop the site, it was ready to build on top of. However, we took soil borings out on site, and the soil conditions in between the borings yielded far more unsuitable material than the borings had indicated. So we made the engineering call in the field to stop doing that and bring in as much material as we could with the money that we had.
Okay, and I know one of the reasons why we were using the airport fund money and the room tax money for this purpose was to try and attract economic development, including the proposed Tillamook Air Museum, even though that's currently still in limbo. Anything that you can disclose right now that's in the works, whether it's Tillamook Air Museum or anything along those lines that would relate to the economic development of the airport, related to the actual expenditure of funds to move that material from Mount Noah to the airport, as indicated to the council a couple months ago?
Tillamook Air did come by three, 4 weeks ago, walked the site, and had their architects look at the site, and they were saying the building needs to be here and facing this direction. So there is still a lot of interest by Tillamook Air to move here. The fill did help because they could visually see where the building would be and how the view would be from Highway 101, which is important to them. So
Okay. They
are still interested, but I can't say anything has actually happened because they're a private company and they're still looking at their options.
Okay.
So is the reason you're bringing this up, David, that seeing do we need to budget something to
the reason I'm bringing it up, Shannon, is
the
reason I'm bringing it up is because the airport discussion over the past years has been about economic development,
right,
including the SGO. So I'm bringing this up because this is an issue related to economic development and the expenditure of airport funds. So it's related to that.
Does the city have?
We need to budget.
I noticed when I'm in on Chamber of Commerce discussions with some companies wanting to come in, they're looking for 20 to 40 pieces of flat land with acres where they can build. Do we have a plan of the area out there at the airport that could be used for economic development now? And are we working with the chamber to do any of that development? Because I don't know about it. David,
that's why I'm bringing it up.
Because we're pretty well wired into the community. Janet doesn't know about it. So maybe that's something that we might take a look at. I mean, an overall plan. Here's a picture. Here's the land that's available. We'd like to develop it economically. We're looking for these types of projects. The Tillamook Air Museum find, they like this portion here. Who else can we put here? Because we're losing some people down there to the Coos Bay area where it's flat. You know, they just get in their cars and move south.
I refer you to the most recent posting by Derek from the Economic Opportunity Analysis. They have maps and the airport's included in that. And we have had some pretty active discussions about how to map that airport area and how to designate it for economic development. So it's in process right now.
I'd like to see something even in the paper in a public type of notice that we're thinking about these things for the future of the city of Newport, because that's a potential source of pretty good income. Do we have any other questions relating to the airport fund? You're all set over here, Ollie?
On the first budget you gave us for the airport, on that line item of $6,099 to $895,000, which has been reduced down to $230,000. What happened to the $600,000?
The most of the description of AIPs was in an email from Gene, pretty much as he was leaving. And I misinterpreted his discussion of AIP 20 and 21 when he said next year. When I'm budgeting, I'm always looking at next year as fiscal year 13. He meant fiscal year 14. So we reduce the revenues and we reduce the expenses for something that's not going in the fiscal year 13 budget, we're going in the fiscal year 14 budget. So what you had was for every $1,000 of expenses that were taken out, there was $950 of revenue taken out, because we're looking at 95% match or something like that. Does that answer your question? It was my error, but it was difficult to tell what year he was talking about. And since I have little to do with the airport, I don't have a working knowledge of AIP 18 as opposed to AIP 22.
It didn't show up as a positive someplace else in terms of overall budget.
It's just in the airport fund.
Very good. Yes, Dean.
Two quick questions. On the airport, I know you and I talked about a year ago about possibly looking for a purchaser for the FBO. Have you given any further thought to that? And number two, how's the roof on the main hangar doing? Is that something we're going to have to spend a lot of money on in the next year, or can that be let go for a while?
Referring to the roof, that can make it one more year, but it'll be something probably you'll see in the FY14 budget. Our maintenance guys did enough repair this year to make it last for another year. As far as operating the FBO, we do have feelers out, and hopefully someone will see the benefits of a private company coming in and operating our FBO, and if we do hear something, we will do everything we can to get them here.
Good. You have another question? Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the urban renewal.
So I'll be substituting for Derek. Derek would be
all right. Tonight. Very
My
good.
Knowledge of urban renewal is what I heard from Derek today and a little bit more. So if you have any questions that I can't answer, I will write them down and ask Derek and answer any questions you have tomorrow. He did want to emphasize the following.
Where are we?
We're on page
96, 97, 98, 99, and 100.
Yes, we're on all of those. And 96, it says narrative, which is a fairly good description of the present status of the Urban Renewal Agency. As you know, we closed down the Northside Urban Renewal Agency or the North Urban Renewal Agency a year ago. However, it still has residual monies in it of about $120,900, generally available for maintenance, and that's what we've been using it for, whether it's the PAC or for other activities. So that is essentially closed. The tax collections and everything associated with closed, but we had a ending fund balance considerably higher than we had estimated, which is always a good thing, at least in my mind. And so of that, they're estimating $121,000 or thereabouts will still be available going into next year. The South Urban Renewal Agency has two cost centers. One is the debt payback, and that's fairly obvious and straightforward, principal and interest, and that's shown on page, probably page 100. That's the debt service. The only one you might have a question of, those are principal and interest payments on those various obligations and issues. The reserve for future debt of $944,000, it's about five lines from the bottom. That's a requirement that we have next year's payments already set aside. And that's just an obligation on the part of the lenders that we do that. So we're always having to have this year's payments plus next year's payments set aside. That's what that number is. On the construction, his primary emphasis was the 40th and 50th Street projects, and he described that fairly well, both the objectives of the 40th and 50th Street and the funding available for it. The additional $300,000 to complete that is really broken out on page, it must be page 99. And he wanted especially to point out that we've got $140,000 for really land acquisition. And another $10,000 for administrative expenses associated with that. The positive thing there, as you can see, again on page 99, about four lines from the bottom, is the contingency in the amount of just under $301,000. He did want to point out that there's $150,000 budget for right-of-way acquisition, of which $140,000 for an actual purchase and $10,000 for other administrative expenses. The $300,000 says he has no plan for right now, and we're just going to carry that forward until we get to about the year 2014 or 2015, when the tax increment revenue should be sufficient to enable us to do other planning. Most of you are more familiar with that than I am. The last issue that I wanted to mention is the, if you go back to page 97, there's an account 4110, property taxes current, and I did want to point this out because it is somewhat of an anomaly depending on one's point of view. You notice that 4110, 2 years ago, received $1.96 million in property tax revenues, and last year received $1.98 million. You notice that this year's budget, fiscal year 12's adopted budget, was $1.85 million. I've increased that only 2.5%, which conforms to the increase in the general fund, and that's about $1.8 $9 million. Derek thought that was a little conservative. We went back and looked at the actual property tax receipts through this year, and we have received $1.7 million. If you program that out, it'll be about $1.91 million because the only June is an abnormal month, and that if anybody's going to pay their property taxes on time, they have to do it by June. 2 years ago, we received in June $89,000. Last year, we received $172,000. If you split the difference, then we're going to receive about $1.91 or $1.92 million. The actual urban renewal plan calls in fiscal year 13 for $2.1 million. It's further evidence, if any is necessary, that property taxes are slower and smaller to arrive than they've been in the past, and therefore our estimate of continuing to estimate property taxes at 2.5% rather than 3% is seen reasonably accurate. But of course, that's not really a good thing, because in the past we've estimated 3% or even higher, and there's nothing to indicate that 2.5% is too conservative. In fact, I'm a little uncomfortable in the general fund with the property taxes that we're estimating now, because we're just not experiencing the revenue receipts from property taxes that give any indication, whether it's the South River Renewal Agency or the general fund, that anything above 2.5% is something we're going to realize in the foreseeable future.
David, you know, I don't have the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan that was adopted with the phase 1, 2, and 3. We've talked about it during the Urban Renewal Agency discussions. I'm trying to recall, what was the assumed percentage increase per year that was indicated to meet all the phase 1 and 2 and 3 projects? I think there was it three. Wasn't it more than
higher than 3?
It probably was. I have the not the percentage.
So I know Derek's not here, and I probably have to ask him at our next regional agency meeting. But if our actuals are coming in pretty flat, or 2 to 2.5, this next year's 2 to 2.5. During our urban renewal agency meetings, I brought this up every meeting, and I asked Derek, and we're still on that same assumption rate, which is much higher. I guess at what point are we going to have to take a look at that assumption rate and say to ourselves, can we actually get everything done that we have in phase 1, 2, and 3 based on those assumptions that we made?
Derek basically anticipated that question. One or two others said, the next time the urban renewal agency meets, we probably should talk about just that issue.
Good, thanks.
Because we would be trailing behind. If we get 1.9 this year, we should have received a little over 2.
Yep.
And the forecast for fiscal year 13 is similar. Obviously, we should look at it again.
Okay.
So, yes.
Sure. I had a question regarding the construction of the Ash Street that's taking place, and maybe Tim could help out on that a little bit. They talked about, you know, building the Ash Street build out. I think this fiscal year, and will it go into next fiscal year? If so, could you describe what the build out will look like?
Wait, is summer?
Bill, we'll be getting plan sets for that in the next few weeks, bidding the project probably this fiscal year, but since the fiscal year starts on July 1, it'll blur into next fiscal year. The project will be completed this summer.
Can you describe what the footprint of that street will look like? I know we talked about in our bike head committee, you know, whether it would be a paved street with wide shoulders or whether we've got enough.
It'll be a paved street with almost no shoulder and a multi-use path.
That's it.
Chuck, are you basically pleased with what you see going on down in your neighborhood?
Some. This Ash Street project has been one that, you know, a lot of us have been watching for several years. And it's nice to see that come to fruition, and that I didn't know that there was going to be a mixed-use path as opposed to a sidewalk, but that sounds like a good solution to keeping with, you know, the path up 40th Street and that sort of thing. So that's good information. But the other question I did have about the South Beach area is there any money in a contingency fund such that if property owners in the area wanted to suggest minor street improvements as they relate to maybe specifically Ferry Slip Road? One project that we talked about over there, some of the neighborhood is filling in the ditch next to Barrelhead Building Supply and in that area, so that right now you have a paved street and people park on the slightly sloping gravel edge. And when there are people parked there and you walk down the street, you have to walk in the gravel lane. And there was some hope that at some point prior to the full build out, that we might get a little improvement of just the shoulder to allow people to park on the shoulder and still leave a little bit of refuge for pedestrians. I don't know if there's a way to address that within the budget if specific requests come up along those lines.
Well, we have $300,000 in contingency, and again, Derek had anticipated that there might be some questions regarding its use, and he felt strongly that the next meeting of the Urban Renewal Agency should just address that. Right now, the plan is simply to carry it over into fiscal year 13, and lacking any plan for spending it in fiscal year 13, carry it over fiscal year 14, at which time we think the tax increment revenues are going to allow us to do some additional planning. But he has no plans for spending the $300,000 right now that I know of.
But there's a possibility that could be.
It's contingency. Once the Urban Renewal Agency board releases it, it could be used for anything that's in the plan, as I understand it.
So if the people are interested in this type of situation, it could come about. David?
Chuck, the discussions we've had is with that $300,000 at contingency, it's really a question of, do we want to use it and just spend it outright, or do we want to wait and defer to when we have more money to utilize it as debt service? And if you utilize it as debt service, you can kind of get more bang for your buck, as you know, because you're paying it over time rather than outright on a particular project. So that's been the discussion, and I think the decision right now is just to kind of wait and see, because if that $300,000 is sitting in contingency and we start getting some additional revenue in, then in a couple of years, as Derek has mentioned, we might be able to tack that on to the revenue that came in and utilize it as debt service.
Right. So. Yeah, the project I envisioned there was maybe, you know, $20,000 separate, very small amount.
Right? We have talked about that missing link from the new section of Ferris Slip past the aquarium and Ash Street, and that's a real necessary segment there that needs to be filled in. So maybe we'll find some other way to fill it in.
Sure.
I have one question on page 98, and that is the north side. You have $120,000 left there, and it says PAC roof, but we've already done the PAC roof. So can we tell the budget committee what other projects you're contemplating with the rest of that money as far as maintenance goes? I know we fixed the south wall of the library. What other projects are you?
The biggest project is the HVA system to this building. I don't have a dollar amount, but that's the largest share of the $120,000. We have some lighting at the library, some lighting at the rec center, and redoing the floor at the rec center. Those are the biggest projects that we plan to use the rest of the money for.
Don, what's your opinion of the South Beach area? Is that your area? Do you live in that area?
It is, yes.
Are you satisfied with what's been happening down there, or are there some?
So I was on the committee a few years ago, and it would be nice to see things pick up. But I also remember that the plan was set up so there were a lot of preliminaries done for the first few years, so you're not necessarily going to see a lot happening. But I think I reflect Chuck's sentiment in Ash Street would be really nice. I think that's a vital link to get put in place there. And then some of these other smaller things that people can see would really, I think, just help promote a little bit of pride in the neighborhood and the community and that kind of thing. And so it was called emotional leverage, if you will, and a little bit of money spent could probably bring a lot of goodwill and enthusiasm for other things.
All right, good. Could you explain to me, somebody, what it means, levy 100% of the tax increment? What does that mean?
Well, and again, I'm fairly unfamiliar with this. I'm still learning about this, but for example,
louder, please.
I'm still learning about this. So I'm somewhat of a neophyte, but however, for the North Urban Renewal Agency, we didn't levy what we could have because we were closing it out. So we levied just enough to pay off to make the last bond and interest payment. So we didn't levy for the full amount possible, just the amount that we needed. You actually can do that anytime you want to. We don't. The City Council does not have to levy for the full amount of the levy of $5.20 or whatever it might be. It can levy for $4.50 when you, and school districts and almost everybody levy for the maximum amount, but you don't have to. In the case of a closeout year, you levy for the last payment and that is all. And the only reason we have any money in the North Urban Renewal Agency is because of conservative estimating of the cash left at the end of the year. But it's just the ability to levy 100%, but not the requirement to do so.
All right, 9%. Don?
Oh, actually, I just going to point out that Jeff's a little bit outside your peripheral.
Yeah, you can't see
I see you now.
Okay. That I was just going to tag on to what Chuck and Don had mentioned, that a lot of folks in the area that I've talked with have indicated, like, I think that you said it very well, the kind of the emotional situation to get a little bit of improvement down there for maybe $20,000-$30,000 looks like $300,000-$400,000 when you get rid of ditches and weeds and blight. Basically, the infrastructure is already in there; they just need to put some pipes and, you know, cover it up. That along with the connection made and the economic study anticipates that there was going to be some growth, and if we don't do a little bit, we can't wait 2-3 years and wait, hope we have some money later.
if we get a few dollars spent to entice people to buy and build, that's going to give you more money than trying to just hang on to a couple hundred thousand dollars and maybe make that stretched out. So that's how real estate works.
David's point was well made, though, that $300,000 would really have a big bang if we could just, you know, proportion that out and add to that. But yeah, once again, these small projects, as you say, are very important. So there's got to be a way that the city can entertain ideas about that. It doesn't mean we have to get 20 people lined up in a row with all these little projects now. We don't want that. But, you know, the Barrelhead project seems to be one that people are interested in, so that could come about. And there's no reason why we can't find something in the budget to help those types of things without infringing upon our larger area. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I think what Chuck said is, you know, consistent with what I was bringing up, was if there's, you know, a small size project that can be utilized and kind of paying for its buck, yeah, I think that's something the council is leaving open as the urban renewal agency, and it's nice to hear that from the budget committee members, because I think that's probably something we'll follow up on at our next urban renewal agency meeting. So
sure.
Thanks for bringing it up, Chuck. It's a good point.
We'll also have something coming out of the current Wolfie Donacolo grant. Mm-hmm. You assume we're investing money into the charrette and the planning. You would like to have at least something maybe to implement some of the suggested changes.
Yep.
I have in front of me a motion. I move to approve the Newport Urban Renewal Agency 2012-2013 fiscal year budget and levy 100% of the tax increment for the South Beach Urban Renewal District. That is something we have to act upon, so I have just made the motion. Is there a second to that motion? You second the motion. Is there any pertinent discussion to this motion? We've already identified what that 100% of the tax increment means. Yes.
What would the dollar amount be?
I don't know. I won't guess. It's 100%, and I can find out, but it's going to be around $2 million.
It would be your revenues now.
What's
the difference between my revenues?
Yeah, the tax increment is basically the amount over and above the frozen tax rate when urban renewal was put in place. So as property increases in value and as new development happens, that tax increment over and above the frozen base when urban renewal was created is the tax increment that can be utilized for urban renewal. That's kind of what they mean by 100% of the levy for the tax increments.
And it was less for this budget. But is there a dollar figure that we know?
I don't have that. So.
Well, I will get it and get it to you, but I don't want to guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I will always estimate revenue conservatively, and that's what's in this budget, but that's not necessarily what we're going to levy for. And even what you levy for is not necessarily what you're going to collect.
Right.
The collection of taxes in Lincoln County for us is about 93%. So you're not going to get 100% of the levy in any event. And the question is, what do you get in the way of delinquent taxes?
I know on my tax bill it says urban renewal right there, very clear. I've made the motion to approve the Newport Urban Renewal Agency 2012-2013 fiscal year budget and levy 100% of the tax increment for the South Beach Urban Renewal District. All in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Fine. Thank you very much. Unanimous, it passed. Let's move on to the Public Works Fund.
We got a second on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
Done.
Okay.
What page is public?
Who's up for public works? We're looking at page 41 through 43 through the end of the world here. We have a lot of pages here, and I'm going to open with Fred Springsteen. Fred had a question and a concern that he identified earlier, and before we even have a statement by the person in charge here, Fred, you're on.
Oh, okay. Well, I just noticed that we had a little bit of discussion before we started the meeting. It appears to me that water rates are going to go up, according to the local paper at least, incrementally over the next 5 or so years. And that's in lieu of borrowing to make those improvements. My question was, when the improvements are paid for, then those rates moderate. Not necessarily go back down to where they were before, but when they moderate. I know that when in private life, when you get your car paid for, your payment goes away. And so I'm thinking to myself, how does that apply in the city?
As a clarification, the proposed rate increases was not in lieu of not taking loans. Rather, it was to minimize the amount of loans that are necessary in order to do the public improvements as part of our infrastructure system. And so the five-year plan was selected or proposed on my part because it seemed to balance minimizing dramatic rate increases in a shorter amount of time and the amount of loans that we would need to take in order to do the public improvements that are necessary. Continuous replacement and improvements to our infrastructure system is going to be needed from now until forever. However, when we get our rates to a certain point where we can sustainably do a certain amount of infrastructure replacement and repair each year, then the dramatic rate increases won't be necessary any longer. However, due to the cost of inflation and the cost of increases in materials, there will be a marginal increase that will be necessary probably on a yearly basis, averaging somewhere in the 3-4% range probably to keep up with ongoing costs. The attempt that we're trying to do right now is get the water and wastewater and storm sewer enterprise funds to a point where they can sustainably do projects on a yearly basis.
So compare the rates that you have in the budget to the five-year plan for these folks.
The rates that we have developed the budget with is an 8% rate increase, which allows us to account for inflationary costs and add a little bit more money into capital construction. Over the five-year plan, which is available on the webpage, for example, in wastewater, for example, in water, over the course of the next 5 years, projects raising rates this fiscal year 15%, and the next year 15%, the following year 10%, 10%, 8%, and then dropping down to, I just showed 5% from there on out, but we would be able to calculate then where we would be just for inflationary cost increases once we got to that point where we could do approximately $1.5 million in capital construction a year. And so that's what that five-year plan looks like. Water. Wastewater is slightly different.
It looks as if I'd always like to take my water bill. You can take my water bill. Just take it right up across all here and get it. I'd love to have the city manager just go back 10 years when I got here and start with my water bill then and explain to me how every year has increased. I paid 54 something last month for my water bill, and with the new increases, it seems like it's going to be nothing going away. Though these little increases, they said 2.3%, 3%, etc. As Brett says, what's it going to be like in 5 to 6 to 10 years from now? And we all pay water, so it affects us all. It could be a $100 water bill. And the question is, can we figure out a way to do this without burdening the taxpayer in our community with that type of an increase? Can we talk about some type of funding that could be, more appropriate for the long term? It is an issue that's not going away. And if you look back 35 or 40 years when they started to put this system in, remember when 101 fell apart in front of Washington Savings here and they went down and found that cardboard down there in the lock? I mean, they bought such cheap material, it was ridiculous. No wonder the place is falling apart. So we're stuck with bad water pipes and stuff you would never use in your own home. You know, we know this. We all know the problem. The question is, let's not lament the problem. Let's try to figure out how to solve the doggone thing. So that's what I hear on the street from people. Mm-hmm. Nobody quite understands it. Nobody quite understands why the water bill has to go up all the time, because what are we spending all this money for? They just, an average citizen doesn't see waterworks. Now, that's just one part of public works. The city is responsible for the police and the fire and the public works, and they don't understand all three of those, I don't think, many of them, but that's it. Did you have something, David, first over here?
Well, the one thing, we had that discussion at the council meeting about the different options. One option that we talked about just generally was, this increase in water rates will be used in part for debt service, which are revenue bonds. There's also what we know as GO bonds, general obligation bonds, which obviously requires a vote of the people. We did that with the water treatment plant, and that was something that we kind of just mentioned. Another option that I think we've talked about is a lot of the infrastructure improvements that are necessary are going to be up in the Agate Beach area. Is that correct, Tim? A lot of that stuff, not everything, but...
I wouldn't say there's any more proportional amount of Agate Beach than anywhere else. Yeah.
But again, I think we've talked about, is there an option for an urban renewal district in other parts of the community? And the urban renewal district does a couple things. Number one, it doesn't necessarily increase your tax rate. It just takes some of that property tax and diverts it to the improvements in that area, which ultimately does have an impact on the city budget, the school, you know, and the other local government budgets. But that's a discussion that could be had if you were trying to blend different options. So maybe part of the solution could be increasing water and sewer rates in conjunction with designating maybe certain projects in the future that we can put off for a period of time that might require taking it out as to the people for a vote. Maybe talk about urban renewal district in a particular area. I'm not saying it's good or bad, other than maybe it's not just one solution to the problem. It might be a blend of several over a period of time.
That type of discussion is a city council type of discussion.
Right. I was just bringing up the different options.
I'm just saying that these may be things that would be, you know, necessary. So let's do this tonight. Let's take a look at the budget committee responsibility here, because we're reviewing this, and we have some overviews here that are pretty doggone, complete. So who's responsible for this fund? All right, here you go. I'm turning it over to you, and sorry we usurped you there.
Before I continue, there's a couple resources that I would recommend if you take a look at. Number one, on our city webpage under the Public Works Department, there's a resource from the AWWA that talks about water infrastructure in the United States. This is not an issue that the city of Newport is facing on our own. This is a chronic issue across the entire nation. There's another piece of information that I would encourage you to borrow from me. I have a video called Liquid Assets, which was produced by the, I believe, the University of Pennsylvania. But it talks about infrastructure as a whole, water, sewer, and stormwater, and the issues that are facing our infrastructure in our country and the costs that are going to be incurred as a result of that. It's an excellent video, very educational and informative. I'm going to try and figure out a way that I can either get it posted on the city's webpage or provide it at the library in some fashion, because I think as a city we need to educate our residents on our infrastructure system and why these costs seem to be going up over the course of time, so that they have a better understanding of what we're talking about when we're making these discussions at the city council meeting. So to begin, I'll talk about Public Works Administration. That's our first page on page 40. Public Works Administration and Engineering are changed slightly in the revenue source that pays for those two sections. In the past, they've been under the general fund. Now they're being funded through the enterprise funds. There's two things that have changed in the Public Works budget this year, or the administration budget this year. Number one, grease trap inspection and enforcement is a new line item. There was no funding for that, and yet it's an ongoing inspection program that we conduct, and it's necessary to do some education as a component of that. Number two, backflow prevention used to be in water non-departmental and has been moved into Public Works Administration for the purposes of being able to better monitor and facilitate that particular item. So it's not really an increase in cost, it's simply moving it from one place to another. Are there any other questions?
On your grease trap and backflow prevention, is it noise in those inspections?
Those inspections are being conducted, but there was no budget item for backflow prevention, for grease trap inspection. And so we created a budget primarily for generating educational materials, and then backflow prevention was funded with a different portion, but those inspections are being conducted on it. Daily basis, really.
Oh, yeah, are these for household type deals or commercial establishments? You know,
it's not necessarily residential properties, primarily commercial properties that are being checked for grease traps and backflow prevention. There's the building code requirements, and then the city also has requirements from the Department of Environmental Quality to have a grease trap program, and backflow prevention is part of our distribution system, water distribution system. Okay. So, as an example, our wastewater plant has, I think, three RPs in it that prevent backflow into the water system.
Okay. I've just used to other entities where that's done, like either the county health department and then the health inspection.
Sprinkler systems, household lawn sprinkler systems, they need an inspection, right?
Yeah, they're required to have a backflow prevention device installed as well. Okay. Oftentimes for businesses, Jim Salisbury does these inspections. He gets a copy of the business license application, which indicates the type of business and location, so he can make a determination of a backflow device or a grease trap is necessary. And it's helped us to intercept those new businesses and ensure that they comply with requirements. And he also gets copies of building permits that come in for irrigation systems.
Go ahead.
And that was on your personnel staff, and I assume that you're part of this Costco. The other FTE, is that another person, or are those two part-time people?
That would be Bob Fuller, our administrative assistant.
Oh, just two.
These presentations that you have here, 41 and 42, 43 and 44, and 45 and 46, are very well done. They are the best I've seen in the whole budget. They really, you really lay it out. You make it easy for us. You tell us exactly what the situation is and what you're doing to make the improvements and what the problems are, and I congratulate you for it. Any other questions?
It's Bob's fault, Bob Fuller, so you can blame.
Yeah, whoever did this gets Bravo Zulu's, I tell you. It's well done. Questions, yes?
I see on page 44 you need a new generator for City Shop, $78,000.
If it's okay, can we go through an order so I can make sure
I'm following what's going on?
Not to slam you, let's go through engineering and we'll get into the public works and I can describe some of those different acquisitions that we need to make as we move forward.
I just wonder if there's the Homeland Security grant that the county gets every year, and if that maybe you could put that project in and see if they could fund that for you.
Tony Carbarino, I'm sorry. This is Tony to me. He's actually looking into that for the generator for us to find out if it's eligible for that and if we might be able to acquire the generator itself. The generator itself is actually the chief component of that. The public works building has been railed together over the course of many years, and right now we're running on 5 different individual meters, and we're only have the ability to run only part of one bay with the existing generator, and so the overall cost of that is more driven toward consolidating that into one electrical system so we can run the entire public works building off the generator. I think $56,000 of our estimate was for rewiring and $20,000 was for the generator. So
you might fund the whole project though.
And he's looking into that for us.
Questions, if comments on the stack of papers you have in front of you relating to public works.
You want me to go through in detail some of the capital acquisitions and issues associated with each?
Yeah, if you think that's necessary, let's do it. Yeah, we want to make sure that we cover what we need to.
Okay, again, engineering is grouped in with administration and that the revenue sources changed to the enterprise funds. We have a few new line items we added in there just simply to account for areas where we hadn't had adequate budget before. There's a few capital acquisitions that are necessary. We have some maintenance agreements for our software. We're trying to upgrade our GIS software to have another floating seat so that we're able to do better asset management. Right now we're using GIS to map our infrastructure system, and by having floating seats with that software package, we're able to produce better maps and information associated with the infrastructure. We're purchasing 4 new traffic counters. We have one single traffic counter right now, an older unit that's no longer supported. We don't have the ability to do an intersection analysis for warrants analysis or sign control or anything like that right now. Really need to have 4 traffic counters so we can count all lines on the intersection. That's how we do a sign analysis and a sign warrant. We also use them for determining if we're having speeding issues in different parts of town, and if we do, then we can task the police department on a particular route at a particular time so they don't have to have a cop sitting there all the time looking for speed violators. I can tell them exactly what part of the day it is and where. There's something that's you're going to see reoccurring through all of the public works areas. This year we were required to go to a narrowband radio frequency, and so a lot of the existing radios that we have within public works are not compatible to narrow bands. We have to purchase some additional radios, and then we have to transfer the radios that we have right now to narrow band, so we have costs built into each of these different divisions to accomplish that task. We also have some dollars in for summer help in engineering to help us do some of our infrastructure analysis, probably go out and actually do condition assessments based on the mapping exercise. Streets and storm drain maintenance, Fund 302. I'm going to primarily focus on the capital acquisition, if I might. This is a combination of streets and storm drainage this year. Built into the budget is a $6.80 stormwater utility fee. We've built that into the budget at this point. That will go toward stormwater infrastructure operations, replacement, and repair. We have a number of stormwater capital projects identified on my CIP that I developed that we still don't have the revenue to be able to fund, even with that capital, or even with that stormwater utility fee. And so right now, capital projects are underfunded. There are some equipment that is necessary to be purchased. Our televising camera is very old, and we need to replace that. This is a shared cost between stormwater and wastewater. It replaced an old camera that's still running off an old 286 computer. I don't know if you remember those. It runs in a 1971 Chevy van. And the camera that we're purchasing gives us the ability to run bigger pipe. Right now, the camera we have, we're only run up to about 8 or 12-inch pipe. We can't run any storm sewer pipe with it. It doesn't have the capabilities of doing that. The new camera we have has different tire arrangements that you can install on it, and it allows it to telescope up and get out of the flow line of the pipe so we can go and do a condition analysis. We have two old tractors with mowers on them that we need to replace. We place some money aside and future capital purchase for replacing those two mowers, those two aged mowers, with one new mower with a more versatile mower head on it. And that tractor that we would use to replace those two other tractors has a lot more versatility in the implements that we can use on it. The motor grader we have, I think, is from 1971, and it's been duct taped together in numerous fashions. And so we're also trying to put some money away to purchase a new motor grader. An asphalt grinder. This is a very specialized tool that allows us to do our overlay projects. Right now, we hire a contractor to come in and do that. With this particular tool, we can improve some drainage issues that we have. It allows us to do very tight turning radiuses around structures, manholes, curb lines, so we can do a better overlay than we've been able to do in the past, and allows us to adjust and correct some of the pavement issues that we have. The generator for the city shop, we already talked about this. The existing unit is 1950s era civil defense generator that belches oil and black smoke when we run it. And so it really desperately needs to be replaced. And again, the radio purchases to replace the wideband and narrowband radios. Talk a little bit about the water treatment plant and water distribution. Talk a little bit about rates and some of the projects that are necessary over the next few years in order to get that our water distribution and treatment up to where it needs to be in order to operate from now until forever. I'm not going to touch on capital projects, really. I'll talk simply about some of the budget changes. We have $20,000 to be able to do some brush clearing of the Sluts raw water line. Our raw water line runs from the Sluts River over the mountains and through the woods down to Blattner Creek and discharges our raw water into Blattner Creek, which then eventually goes into our reservoirs. I've hiked out on the Sluts River raw water line twice, and it's overgrown with trees and it's inaccessible to all but essentially a helicopter at this point. We need to have ongoing maintenance on that raw water line to be able to provide mowing activities on a yearly basis so we can keep it open for equipment to be able to do repairs. We had damage to the Sluts water line this year with wind-blown trees taking out one of our blow-off valves, and we were lucky in that it didn't do any permanent damage to that line, but we need to make provisions to be able to access that water system. That's what those dollars are for. We placed aside some money for SCADA training for our IT manager. Right now, we contract out any kind of telemetry services through TAG, this technical automation group. Richard Dutton has been coordinating the SCADA activities, and SCADA supervisory control and data acquisition is what it stands for. It controls the entire wastewater plant and controls the entire new water treatment plant, computer controlled equipment. We're also implementing programs to automate and monitor our lift stations, booster stations, and tanks around town, gives us data on how long the pumps are running, if they're in failure mode, what kind of failure it is, if somebody's going into the lift station or booster station, how much water we have in the tank, that kind of information. And so Richard, our IT manager, we put aside some money to help give him some training so he can manage that system in-house and either provide oversight and the management and operation of the system or corrections and repairs to the system as it runs. So.
One question. Hopefully you'll get that SCADA system in. That would perhaps free up the people that have to go out there on a daily basis, even on the weekends, to check that out.
That's kind of part of my maniacal goal in this. Number one, we need the information. I'll give you an example of a SCADA implementation project we have programmed for this year. The tank in South Beach, we don't have the ability to get the water to turn over in that tank. And what I mean by that is the tank fills and then the water never comes out of it because we don't have enough demand in South Beach. And so the water becomes stagnant and we lose the ability to hold chlorine in that water and we can't guarantee its safety. And so we've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting with that tank. We programmed in this year a SCADA project to automate the valves that feed South Beach and the tank itself so that we can turn on the valves or turn off the valves and essentially isolate South Beach and force it to draw off the tank. And then we can force the valve to flow in such an arrangement to fill the tank back up again. And we can computer automate that system so the tank will continually turn over and provide the fire protection that we need in that region without turning stagnant. So when we have a water break, as an example, we did in South Beach, and we start feeding everybody out of that tank, they're not receiving stagnant water. That's a single example of a SCADA implementation project. They go on from there.
My point was, though, you wouldn't have to do that manually.
We would not have to do that manually then. Right now, we go and visit every single lift station every single day, Saturdays and Sundays, to ensure that they're running and operating. We would be able to do all of that remotely. In fact, there are some elements of the water treatment plant we'll be able to operate remotely.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I just wondering, do you want questions as you go along, or do you want to get all the way through your spiel?
The only one I have left is wastewater, so if it's something I talked about, fire away.
Going back to the beginning. page 41, we talked about staffing and engineering. Half of your assistant city engineers now in planning, correct?
Not half.
Half? So we funded half time by engineering and half time by community planning.
Yeah, he's assisting on half time.
So I'm kind of getting at your whole staffing scheme up here. Is that going to work? Part of our problem in the past is keeping up on engineering demands for projects.
He's providing assistance in going through easements and franchise agreements and things like that with planning and reviewing those documents. Greg is kind of our easement and contracts specialist, and so he's helping them, assisting them with that. And the other part of Greg's duties is responding to what I call the engineering administrative functions. The contract and design process is coming out of Ted, the senior project manager, who replaced me. Mm-hmm. And so the three FTEs, 3.5 FTEs in engineering is Melissa, the engineering technician, Ted Jones, our senior project manager, Jim Salisbury, who's technical compliance officer, and then the half person is Greg. And I don't quite know why it's 0.58. It sort of worked out that way. But
well, and here it says it's the half-time position of the compliance officer. So is the other half someplace other than in public works engineering? I'm on page 40.
In your first bullet point, yeah. Underneath significant operational changes.
And I was just in that because there's somewhere the other half that the finance person is in.
That's Jim, right?
Yeah, Jim Salisbury's our compliance officer. Where are you reading?
On page 41.
Right.
There's significant operational budget changes. The first
down here.
Bullet.
Yeah, last year Ted's salary was shared through engineering and someplace other. It was odd.
He charged some projects too.
Yeah, there were some project costs in there. It was the position was funded strangely.
So the way that you're wording this is just a little. You're actually having full time with the compliance officer, and last year was half time. I'm lost in that sentence.
I think that what's throwing you is the compliance officer should be fully funded out of it.
I think the explanation of that is he does half-time compliance, half-time safety. And his safety is paid within Public Works because majority of his work is with the Public Works group. So that's what Jim
says. His position description is not defined very well in that paragraph. Yeah. And if it was defined better, it would have been more clear.
And then I was just trying to find on page 42 that there's a budget item 6216, which is training, and I can't see it on. I'm just not finding it on the sheet.
No, you won't, because 6216 plus every other number is summed up. Now, that will not be the case next year.
Okay.
But as we're converting to the new software system, all we can do is sum up the various sub-classifications. So you won't see 6216.
Just real quick, again, I'm going to repeat my comment about Homeland Security Grant. You've got about 8,000 in there for the narrow band requirement. I think the county gets five projects. They're probably going to have at least one radio project that you could throw those radios into their one project to get that taken care of as well. So you might look at that. Yep. Okay. Look at that.
This is a citywide issue. I think the police are dealing with this too. We put money into the budget for it, but I think we need to talk about it as a whole and find out what resources are available for funding both their radio needs and ours. So I'm just in the fire department to fight the same battle.
On page 46, Tim, you have replacement of a pump at Big Creek. That's just to keep Big Creek Station operating at its inadequate level.
We yanked the pump out of Big Creek twice and rebuilt it in the last year, and we just can't hobble it together anymore. Yeah. And we didn't want to have to buy the pump, but we have to buy the pump. I won't have the lift station designed and replaced for probably 2 years.
Okay.
And we got to replace the pump.
You have to fix what we have now, even though we know
it's got to be done. It can't run. The two pumps run combined 90% of the time at Big Creek right now.
Yeah.
If I go down a pump, it SSOs with no reinvent. And so we have to have a pump running, and so we just simply need to buy one and replace it because there's a huge lead time on that pump.
Very good. We're making some great progress here. Yes, Bob?
Yes, I just have a question about the motor grader of 90,000 and the asphalt grinder of 39. And those are split two accounts, 3220 and 3210. And for the life of me, I can't find those accounts in here. Are those line items?
No, they're David's secret fund.
Also,
I think it's capital.
No, that's 9,000.
What page were you reading from, Long?
43 at the bottom.
Those are the old numbers.
This is reserves for future capital things. Except that I think we didn't. Unless of asphalt, it's 131,000. I couldn't tell them.
The last thing I point out on these.
It's basically split between storm drain and streets is what those two bonds are intended to be, and then they got the number drawn in it.
Well, remember, 3210 3220 are not accounts, they're cost centers. And if you look at that, the summation of those cost centers, there's total capital outlay there just under $138,000. Mm-hmm. So that would account for that.
Lon, we're going to take a 5 minute break here, and then we'll come right back to this resolution of this question when we find out what page we're supposed to be on and what answers we're supposed to be giving. We're going to, it's 7:05 now. We're taking a 5 minute break. David, can I show you a few minutes?
I just have a quick question.
Yeah, well, oh yeah.
The council discussion prior to the budget committee meeting was we were going to have as a placeholder for the proposed budget an increase of 8%, which would include the 5% for the increase in inflation for operating expenses, plus the 3% for additional kind of revenue for those capital projects. But Tim, I think it'd be nice for you to explain what your thinking is and what we touched upon at the council level as far as after this budget is approved, some of the things that might happen between now and when the council actually adopts the budget at the end of June, because we were talking about potentially making some adjustments to that water rate based on subsequent public hearings and further discussion with you and staff. So I think that's probably good for the budget committee to hear as far as what this 8% actually represents at this point in time.
Well,
I think you described it pretty well.
We needed
a placeholder, and we chose 8%, so that we at least had some room to do some capital projects that are necessary, but then it gave us a cushion so that the discussion we were having with council about proposed utility rate changes wouldn't inhibit the budget process. We needed to have a budget that we could balance, and so that's why it was established that way. What the actual utility rates are going to be is still yet to be determined by council. And so we have an additional public hearing coming up on Monday to continue that discussion for both water and sewer. One thing that is built in beyond that 8% is the stormwater utility fee. We built that into the stormwater budget. And so that goes away. We need to figure out how to accomplish what we projected in this year's budget without it. That occurred 2 years ago. We ended up laying off employees as a result. You'll notice in the stormwater budget, we have another FTE that we're proposing in there to replace that person that we lost because we're horribly understaffed right now. So I think that, as David mentioned, we needed to make sure that you understood kind of the process we're going through right now with the city council and utility rates.
I just had a question on the rates because I didn't see it in the packet, and this is great that you put that packet up on the website. What about the commercial rates? Are they addressed in the city council's?
We looked at this aggregate rate increase to date. One of the exercises I wanted to go through was break out how we would adjust each individual rate, either 3/4 inch meter, 1 inch meter. Right now, the water fee break out commercial properties any different than residential properties. You could have a 6-inch meter on your house, and you'd end up paying the same rate as a business with a 6-inch meter. The way the existing utility billing system sets that up makes it so that it's almost impossible for me to go and break out individual meter sizes at this point in time. I think over the course of the next year, as the new utility billing system comes online, we'll be able to make that process far simpler and more straightforward, so we can clearly identify the costs and the revenue associated with a 3/4 inch meter versus a 1 inch meter versus a 6 inch meter, and then we can adjust rates accordingly based on how we want to weigh the cost of the water system. For example, in wastewater right now, the base fee for wastewater, I think, is $15.35 for a residential property. The base fee for a business, regardless of how much wastewater you generate, is $15.35. Their cost per 1,000 gallons is only slightly higher. I want to say it was $4.52 to $5.05. So they pay a little bit more per 1,000 gallons. But basically, Walmart pays the same for wastewater rates as my house right now. And what we'd like to do over the course of the next 5 years is make that more equitable. The way that the utility billing system works right now, I spent hours trying to figure it out today, and I don't think we can because it's not set up that way in our existing utility billing system, which is going to go by the wayside in the next few months as the new utility billing system comes on, and we can establish it through that process. I don't think we can wait to make decisions about what our aggregate rate change will be on a year-to-year basis, but we may only be able to adjust it more equitably over 4 years, even though we adjust rates over 5. I think it's probably like we'll just go with a base rate of whatever we decide this year across the board for everybody, is the same adjustment. And then in the years that come, we change it differently based on user.
So the 8% kind of takes in some of that science you'd like to put into the current rate structure. So charging more the more you use, say on commercial.
Doesn't take that into consideration at all at this point.
You could. We've talked about it.
I think some of this would make it more saleable to people that they've
got.
It's kind of like you're just saying, it's understanding all those.
My point is that right now, I don't think we have the ability to do that until we come into the new utility billing system, which will come online in the next few months. Mm-hmm. And then I need to take a really hard analysis on that, because I can't just shift all the burden on the commercial properties immediately, because you run businesses out of town. So there's a period of time that transition needs to take place, and I think we need to do an analysis to find out where the burden really lies. You know, does somebody who uses 5 times as much water as a single family home put 5 times as much burden on your water system? It may not be that way. And so we want to try and balance that out a little bit more equitably, and that's going to be a pretty darn detailed report on our part to get that out so that we can make some educated decisions.
So you have the staff to do that?
Yeah. A lot of great staff.
Let's swing the pendulum back to the budget?
It's about the water.
All right.
About the water budget. Well, three things. One thing we did talk about, the conservation incentive is not there right now. So we need to shift the incentive towards conserving water and not having water be less the more you use. A couple other things, David, I haven't checked my email in the last couple of days, but you said you were going to put together a letter explaining how allocations are made for administrative costs to these different funds, which I think is really critical. We talked about that last time. And then the third thing is we talked about the water bills, even the water bills we have, existing water bills we have, or the water bills we'll have with our new system, we need to carefully outline how that money is, where that money is going, so that as people pay their bill, they know exactly how much money is going for their actual water usage and maintaining the water coming through their pipes to them right now, and that the extra dollars that are in there are for capital improvements, and we can even designate what capital improvements we're working on right now. So this $5.38 that you're spending extra above and beyond your water usage is for this project. Here's what we're doing. Same thing with waste, same thing with stormwater. Mm-hmm. So we can actually designate in there, show people that this money's going for this, not going for anything else. And I think that's really critical. Yeah.
Hold it.
On page 43, on streets division and storm drain maintenance, you've got a total of 5.08 FTE. How many of those FTEs are supervisors?
Half.
One.
Just one?
Well, half, one hole in the streets fund, but half to each cost center. So one to storm drain maintenance, one to street maintenance.
Okay.
It's one person.
One person, yeah.
Is it pretty much a team approach between the two cost centers? In other words,
there's really no differentiation between streets and storm drains.
Yeah. And then on page 50, which is cost breakout for those two accounts, we've got a revenue item, 4559 charges for services of $354,960. What is that?
That's $6.80, and you'll see. What you're looking on page 50 is a summation of the two cost centers that make it up. You'll see that if you go back to page 52, you see that same number or some close to it. In other words, I'm looking on page 52, revenue code 4559, charges for services. You'll see that there's no fiscal year 10 actuals, no fiscal year 11 actuals, no fiscal year 12 adopted budget, because that's the new fee, $6.80 per year.
Oh, okay, that's
better. It's $6.80 per month.
Okay. On back to page 43, you've got goals and budget for your objectives. A three-year asphalt overlays. Is that a three-year plan, or is it going to take 3 years to do it? Or on page 43.
3 years on the last 3 years.
Is that just what's done the last year?
43.
Page
43. Yeah, 43.
Where are you? Goals, budget, year objectives.
In the middle.
All right.
In
yes.
The middle. And what I'm getting to is how much overlay you actually need to do this for this budget?
We did about $160,000 in overlay projects last fiscal year. We're projecting to do about $200,000 in overlay projects this year. Into that overlay project includes some curb replacement, some ADA ramp replacement, things like that.
How many blocks is that?
Yeah, how far does that go?
Depending on the thickness of the overlay, we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 or 8 blocks of overlays. That's all.
Might as well point out right there that last time I put things I've been to, you might do 6 or 7 or 8, and you probably need to do, 20, 30 to be pace to replace it. So we're always behind the eight ball.
And then the follow-up to that would be is if you're doing sewer, water, wastewater lines repair, does that include them just patching or overlay?
There's a philosophical question for you. Because if I go out to do a sewer project, I probably will pay for the patching through sewer, unless what really makes the benefit here makes our overlay money go farther. Mm-hmm. We have money budgeted to do water, sewer, stormwater, and street repairs this year. Just combine those, fix the water line in a section of the street, fix the sewer line in a section of the street. Instead of using the overlay money to fix the storm drain, we use the storm drain money to fix the storm drain, and they come in and overlay the whole bloody thing. Now I just don't have overlay money working for me anymore. I have water and sewer and storm drain and overlay money working for me. That's how we get the most bang for our buck. We started doing that last year, and that's what we did out here on First Street. We combined the overlay money with the storm drain money we put aside for storm drain replacement. We fixed the water services, we fixed the storm drain services, we replaced the curb, and we overlaid it. It's a great street. That's what we're trying to do.
Is there any advantage then in the future to look at additional funding sources for additional overlay?
Oh my word, yes. It's an easy exercise to do. I've done a pavement management analysis for my previous city, and all you really have to do is, a pavement life usually lasts about 40 years without any work done to it. And so count up the number of miles of streets you have in your town, figure out how long they live and how many you have to replace over 40 years. Now, it's not cost effective to do that. We need to start implementing other pavement management strategies to stretch out the lifetime of our pavements, because you can't overlay every street in 40 years. Nobody can afford to do that. We're just in the infancy stage of asset management in the city of Newport. And so that's one of those things that we need to tackle over the next few years.
And then add to that, sporadic blocks of gravel.
Yeah.
Your approach to the budget is very progressive, and it certainly is a change from what we've experienced in the past, and it's nice to see that. You have another question?
No, just a comment.
Okay, good. No problem.
I think, if I remember right, when we got the budget fully approved and was posted on the web, that it did include the comment sheets or the overview sheets as part of the budget. Yeah. And it would be great if each of the project managers or program managers were to do as much detail as Tim has on his.
I agree. That should be there. Are there any other questions in reference to this? Yes, sir.
I do. Just a general question about the water department. During February, we had those kind of flood conditions where we had a compromised water line by the North Arrow, the water line hitting South Beach. I know you guys repaired that. Was that repair deemed as kind of a permanent fix and no more problems affected there?
The water line down South Beach was a permanent repair.
The break was near the embarked arrow on the north side.
Yeah, there's an elephant structure there where 12-inch T fitting broke, and we took that fitting out and replaced it with a new fitting. Really just piped through, we took the fitting out, and that's a permanent repair. Fit into my office if you want to see it.
I had a couple other questions.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned that the water from the Sluts River that's piped up into the creek, that flows into the creek. And that needs to be cleaned up so you have maintenance access to it. Is that an appropriate area to co-mingle a recreational trail?
It's privately owned land by a timber company. They clear cut a bunch of that this year. And so I would say, yeah, because I need to have some sort of service road to get in there at some level, but service road is stretching it a bit. I mean, it's mountainous. Literally crawling on your hands and knees, traverse type stuff. So, I mean, if you're a hardcore hiker, yeah, that'd be great. But I walked it, it's tough.
All right. And back on the streets, is there any small amount of money in the budget for dust abatement on those roads that we cannot afford to pave? They're going to be gravel for the foreseeable future. From time to time over the years, they've had a dust abatement program where they've come in, put something down there, keep the dust. To lay down a little bit during the summer months. Is there money to do that at all?
Yeah, for our normal operations.
And then my final question was, once the new water production facility is completed, will the cost per gallon be less to produce a gallon?
I couldn't tell you that because we have no idea what the energy costs are going to be associated with around that facility. Nor what my chemical costs are going to be, because the treatment process is so phenomenally different than what we did in the past that we're just shooting in the dark. Because I can't go and take a look at another membrane plant of a comparable size, because there's no other plant out there of the same size, with the same quality of water, with the same size pumps, to go through that whole thing. And we didn't force our engineers to go through a very detailed life cycle analysis on that plant, you know, with energy costs and things like that. We took a shot in the dark on budgeting that right now, but I would think simply because of the efficiency of the new motors that he runs today, we'd see some cost benefit, but we moved from a 75 horse motor to a 350 horse motor, so you know, there's additional energy costs associated with the different type of filtration that it does. So no idea, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right, coming back over to this side, yes sir.
Okay, this is more of a comment on the water rates. I'm concerned about those that are on fixed incomes. If we're raising 5%, you know, they don't get 5% raises per year. If they're on Social Security, they may get 1-2%, and then Medicare goes up, takes away that 2% or more. How are they going to be able to afford any raises? And do we have any contingency plans or, you know, funds that can help those?
Jim probably can speak to this a little bit better. I know that we're trying to implement an SOS program as part of our water billing rates, so that people can donate money to help those who have a hard time paying their utility bills. And this is going to sound cold and hard. We're not running a charity with our water department. This is the actual cost it costs us to operate this system. And I do feel for people who have fixed incomes, but the numbers I'm coming up with are not numbers that were made up. They're simply numbers that were derived from adopted plans, identifying the infrastructure needs that our system has. And so if it becomes apparent that we have problems with people being able to afford the rates, the actual cost it takes to manufacture and distribute water in our city, it's not something that we can deal with by not having the rates that way, because that's what it actually costs to pay for the system. Rather, we need to come up with assistance plans to help those people who don't have the resources to do it, similar to food banks or other resources that are out there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is what it costs us to run this system, whether we want it to be that or not.
And specific to the SOS fund, it's similar that you'll see on your electric bill, where you can elect to put some additional monies in there. We have authorization from the council to do that. We're waiting for the new utility billing system to go on online to include that.
David?
Jim, have you checked with PUD about how successful that SOS program is? Because it's nice to talk about it, but when you put it into practice, you know, how successful will it actually be based on what you sense from other utilities that utilize it?
I haven't talked to you.
I think that'd probably be a good idea, because we can talk about it in theory, but it's probably good to find out from other folks how much they actually derive as a benefit for the folks that actually need it. Probably good before we make a decision how successful it is in the community. And the other question I have, Tim, is you brought this up at the council meeting. What do you think with our old types of water loss rate is right now? Because that's always a big issue. With the new water treatment plant, we want to try and keep the water as much into the system as possible. And I know we're trying to replace some of the water lines, but what do you sense is probably our water loss just through the pipe fittings or whatever deteriorated pipelines there are out there?
I can tell you almost to the gallon how much I produce. I have no clue how much we sell. And without being able to get that information, I couldn't tell you what my losses are, because okay, I don't think our utility billing system tracks it efficiently at this point.
Is that
we get into a new system, and we're trying to implement an automatic meter reading system, and that will, there's two significant issues there. Number one, tracking our actual sales. And number two, actually metering the water that we're really selling. And so through the automatic meter reading system, we will have much higher accuracy in reads. And we're replacing the aged meters so they actually read what we're selling. We've replaced some meters where we've doubled how much somebody actually paid, because the meter was so worn out and the impeller was so far gone that it wasn't metering anymore. And so with those improvements, we're actually recovering some of our costs in that. And I would expect, when you ask me this question next year, I can tell you exactly to the percentage what our losses are.
Robert, one quick thought. So if we get that system in place, then will that actually be able to allow you to go to an area which you're showing a high water loss and actually pinpoint geographically where that water loss might be occurring and actually start start honing in on that area?
I can tell you if somebody has a water leak in their house with the new system. I can tell you, not necessarily in the distribution system where I have a leak because it's on the front side of the meter, mm-hmm. but the automatic meter reading system does two things that are fantastic. My ability to add additional FTEs is very, very, very limited. But what it does allow me to do is take those two meter readers that I have and basically get a 1.5 FTE out of it because I don't have to send them around town reading meters anymore. They're basically repairing and monitoring the system, and then I'm able to use those bodies to do the things that I need and the rest of the water system. And so again, smarter instead of harder. Being able to identify the leaks in people's homes is a huge thing because they have no idea how much water that they're losing. We can watch and monitor those when they're running in the middle of the night and be able to give people notice that they're using water. So from a user perspective, it's a phenomenal way of water conservation. I do think that we have probably need to go, again, if we start getting into a more defined asset management program with our water system, there are ways to go out and do regular leak detection throughout your system. I could be having just a teeny weeny little leak over the course of 20 years and lose millions of gallons of water there, but it's not significant enough leak where it's boiling up through the street, especially in this region. There's so much sand here. When you get a leak, it's gone, baby. You don't know where it is. And so they listen for them. Literally, they put a microphone down a gate valve and we listen for the leak. It's very time consuming, but it's worth it. So,
okay.
Smarter, not harder.
Looking at the full scale of public works, we want to try to concentrate on our job as budget committee members to ask specific questions related to items on pages in the budget. So let's remember that. And are there other questions that you want to ask in relation to the public works sections, which are large in the budget? If so, take a thought about it and raise your hand and ask the question. Hold it.
Tim, did you build in to the formula on the 8% increase of water sewer? It may encourage a substantial amount of water conservation.
I don't think you're going to see a ton of water conservation out of an 8% rate increase. You're going to see a ton of water conservation out of a 15% rate increase. Mm-hmm. And so how you set your base fee versus how you set your cost per thousand gallons has a big impact on that. It's not an analysis that has necessarily been done yet. Not quite there yet. That was part of the stuff I've been doing today and trying to figure out how much water production we get or how much water use we get through the individual size meters. But, you know, if I wanted to secure a consistent revenue source, I would raise the base rate and not raise the rate per gallon of water. You know, because you still collect that revenue even though it's mm-hmm. not dependent so much on use. But that's not, there's going to be a balance of the two in there somehow, you know. But that's a very good and that's very intuitive.
Questions? Report? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was wondering, when you get the system put up, when you're talking about it being better to have a base rate, increase the base rate instead of the amount per thousand. Would you be increasing also for the larger pipes as far as the 6-inch and say that they're paying this amount or?
Yeah, the base rates vary depending on your meter size, but then the amount of water that you get in that base rate also increases. So for example, I think for a 6-inch meter, your base rate's like $235, but your first, I can't remember if it's 21,000 or 41,000 gallons are built into that base rate. So if you divide out what the cost per thousand gallons is in that base rate versus a single family home, which only gets 1,000 gallons in that base rate, the cost per thousand gallons is not a whole lot different. And so that's where the inequity lies, is that I think the base rate on our larger users needs to be adjusted more than the base rate on smaller users, and you end up getting the same net, say 10% or 8% or 15% rate increase that you're looking for, but you're placing more burden on the heavier users, which oversizes your infrastructure system versus the smaller users. And so, again, back to the base rate, it varies depending on your meter size. It does not vary for sewer users, but it does vary for your water on your water portion of your bill. Everybody's base rate for sewer is the same. Whether you're a huge commercial business or an industrial facility or a single family home, it's $15.35 base rate sewer cost. But, you know, you might be using 100,000 gallons a month, and that family over there is using 5,000 gallons a month, and so the sewer line is sized, appropriate, is sized for the guy with $100,000, 100,000 gallons a month, not the 5,000 gallon a month. So, I mean, you kind of see how that works. But, of course, there's so many more single family users, too. So you can't just say system is sized for the larger users, because I have 100 residential houses for every industrial user. So it all comes into this huge equation. It's not a simplistic exercise at all.
I'm going to...
I have one more quick question.
One more question.
$100 water bill, 8% increase, $108. Stormwater fee is included in that, or is the stormwater fee above and beyond?
The budget's built on a
5%. They're all unique. Yeah, we're talking about raising your water
I'm saying a person has their water bill in front of them, it's $100. We're saying an 8% increase would be $108, and then there's a $6 fee on top of that for stormwater.
That's correct, there's a $6 fee
on
top.
So the 8% only includes water, storm, and sewer. Right. The stormwater fee is above and beyond, so
okay,
we're actually talking about an increase larger than 8%.
But there's an infrastructure fee which is not raising 8%. I think we just assume 5% on that. Okay. And there's your water bill, your water rate, which is your base fee, and that's 8%. Right. Your sewer base fee and usage is 8%. And then your stormwater utility is $6 and something.
It's not
8% total of the water bill. It's 9.1 or 8.7 or something weird like that. Yeah. It depends on who you are, because Walmart's paying $6.80 for their stormwater utility fee. And so their bill is not changing. 8.7%. It's changing 8% or 8.0001.
Right.
It's not
very
simple.
Good.
But the percent increase is only reflecting on the sewer and water rates.
Yes, we have to keep in mind that the rate increases we're talking about are very unique to that particular fund, water, sewer, stormwater.
I'm going to move ahead to page 86 on parking, community development department, and included in that will be 93 to 95, which involves the special revenue funds. Are there any questions or concerns in reference to the two items in front of you, one on page 86 and one on page 93? Who represents parking? Is there anything we need to discuss in this area?
Well, there's a couple of issues. I mean, that's very. And when we spoke, I think last week at our preliminary meeting in March, we were with the understanding that we would address major funds and large funds, but not necessarily the smaller ones. And that was our intent. So I've not done anything on these smaller funds.
Okay, just asking if there's anything to notice. You're out striping the parking area in Night Beach today. It looks pretty good. And
Rob, what page are you looking at?
Pardon? 86. I'm on page 86.
Okay, thanks. I got it.
Way down there. Anything on comment on this housing page, community development department? There's no new capital request for this, but is this something the budget committee needs to do anything with? Doesn't appear to me that it becomes an issue here.
Is this kind of a placeholder? Is that what I know?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up these little detailed budgets that you're not probably going to take a look at. Let's do this to keep us moving. I want to move from person to person, if you don't mind, because on the agenda it says general questions from the budget committee. I want to concentrate on questions that are related to the budget. If we haven't addressed them, I don't want to walk out the door with somebody saying, well, I haven't really had a chance to say my due. So if and don't ask a question, please, just ask a question. We don't want that. If you don't have any questions, don't be embarrassed saying I don't have any questions. But if there's anything that you haven't asked that you need to want to bring up, we're going to start over here with Don and let him be first on the docket. Is there anything you have to question, Don?
One thing I'm wrestling with in my mind, I'm not sure it's a question, but these utility rate increases. On the one hand, I can see that the perhaps necessary from years of neglect of the system. so I can understand that. Operational cost increases kind of bother me because it seems like Jeff pointed out, they're going up way faster than people's income or general cost of living. And just because an entity has the right to raise the rates with the feel of raising them or to justify raising them, I'm having trouble getting comfortable with that in my own mind. I'm not sure if there's ways to gain efficiencies in other places, and I'm not trying to attack what you're doing. I understand you've got a problem, but it seems like some ways of gaining efficiencies to minimize those rate increases would be appropriate.
And that's an appropriate comment from a budget committee member. That's well done. Yes, sir?
The construction cost index indicated that construction costs raised 3.5% over the course of the last 10 years. That attributes to additional fuel costs, additional material costs, additional labor costs. And so that is an overall estimate of just construction. Now you take a look at the cost it takes for us to field an employee and benefit costs and all those types of things. And that's where that yearly increase of 3 to 5% comes from. To maintain the level of service that you're at today. I talked about a few things of working smarter, not harder. Yeah. Automating systems, trying to have less bodies doing the same amount of work and reduce our overall expenditure cost because bodies cost more than anything.
Right.
And so we're trying to implement those systems right now by doing construction of projects allows us to have less people running the system.
Okay.
Very good.
So I would comment too, Don, is that we've taken kind of a bigger umbrella approach to some of that too, and looking at healthcare costs and retirement costs.
Right.
And some of those costs have been, handed to us in the past and just said, here's what they are. Right. No one really questioned them. So we have taken a bigger look at some of those areas where we maybe have a little more control over, and I think those are efficiency ways to find efficiency also, because if we didn't get a handle on healthcare and retirement, our annual costs would have increased bigger, more than 5%.
Right, a lot of that goes back to cleaning up things that should have arguably been addressed years ago, but we're dealing with them now.
And I don't know if you can really say neglected. I feel like it would have been nice if councils in the past had addressed some of these issues we're trying to figure out right now on water and sewer. But I don't think there were any cities in the state that were doing that. I think it was a whole different way of thinking and a whole different way of funding repairs and taking an approach to those that we aren't following that anymore. We aren't following that approach anymore, but I think most cities did it the same way we did it. Whether it was right or wrong.
Yeah.
So well, that's where we are right now.
Back in the 40s and 50s, the federal government invested a lot of money in grants for building infrastructure. The federal government doesn't give out grants at that level anymore.
So
you built this massive infrastructure system that you had no hope of being able to fund to the same level as it came to the end of its useful life. So that's what we're experiencing now. We're at the end of that useful life. 40s and 50s, we're 50, 60, 70 years down the road from when most of that infrastructure was put in, and that's the life cycle of most water and sewer pipe.
Good point,
yeah.
Debt service. I refinanced my mortgage this past year at Mushroom. Is there a process that a city can go through to
We just did. In July of 2010.
Okay. Very good. Chuck?
Just a quick question about the city shuttle loop. Is that being funded at the same rate as it has been in the past for the bus services?
It's $5,000 less, so it'll be $85,000 instead of $90,000.
But operating pretty much the same as it has?
Yes.
And then another small fund, the wayfinding project that's taking place throughout the city right now. Is there any money in the budget next year for wayfinding?
$12,500.
Very good, thank you. We're going to Fred.
Just one question that I haven't seen in here, maybe just because my eye doesn't recognize it. The little dirt road that fell apart up on Swimming Pool. I understand there's FEMA money going to be available. There's some matching money or something in the budget somewhere that I couldn't find. It's going to go into that project.
That project in Big Creek Road was funded as part of last fiscal year, and so the CIP is basically a balance forward in the capital projects fund, which I don't remember what the fund number is now. And so you don't see a new revenue source for it because we just forwarded the previous balance. Actually, that's a good point, because we're working with FEMA right now to get reimbursed for a lot of the storms in January. And so we'll be able to put some money back into the operational funds of water, wastewater, for the stuff that we've spent repairing those that damage. It's pretty significant. One project, I believe, just the airport project, we spent over $30,000 in the repair on that one. The Bay Crossing was in the tune of $20,000 to $30,000, so we'll see some of that money come back here very shortly. We're working with them right now, this week, and hopefully we'll see a check from them before the end of the fiscal year.
Very good.
And to further on that question, Big Creek Road, 75% of the cost will come from FEMA, 25% local match, and we've identified our local gas tax as majority of that 25%.
Okay. What's the time frame? Anybody?
We're this close to getting our civil design approved by FEMA. It's really slow. As soon as they approve the concept that they've given, then they can do the construction drawing and we can build it. Then it'll move quite a bit faster. It's not all that complex. It's just getting through their paperwork. It just takes forever.
Okay. Jeff Whiteman?
Where are we at on personnel contract negotiations? And are these figures that you have listed here conservative on that?
Or conservative in that if I had to choose between one number and a slightly higher one, I took the higher one as the expense, okay. Always. 3 to 5%, 2.5%, depending on the individuals. The next negotiations with all three bargaining units are on June 7th. Unfortunately, given that date, and I can't call it an act of reluctance, but not an encouraging sign from at least one of the bargaining units. Health insurance is a big outstanding issue. I don't believe those will be resolved before the budget is brought to you for adoption, which is unfortunate because then it means it carries forward into the next fiscal year, and we have to retroactively make those changes. That's just a horribly time-consuming job. We really hope to avoid that. On the other hand, I think the relations with the bargaining units are very good. Health insurance is a sticking issue, and CIS has been very helpful. Linda Brown and I briefed a couple of the bargaining units. It's promising, but I don't think we're going to have 100% sign up from the bargaining units for the new health insurance plan, at least not easily, and certainly not by June 7th. So that's a big question mark, but they're less resistant than they were several months ago because it's been well explained to them. And probably 80%, it's just not the vocal 80%, but probably 80% would all benefit by the switch to a high deductible health plan. Those who don't are fairly vocal and have somewhat of a following, and whether it's a strong following or not, we don't know.
Janet Webster?
You mentioned the gas tax just now, and I've been thinking about that. Where does that show up as a revenue stream?
It's in the streets fund and in the capital projects fund. There are two gas tax, one from the state and one from the city of New Lord.
Oh, so you've got the city one.
Page 95.
Yeah. So that's straight into the streets and go
for gas tax, 41.55.
The other thing, I mean, it's a question for Tim. You said that you're hopefully understaffed. So it's of concern because I think other departments felt like they were okay or you could hope. So I just want to make sure that we're not, one, that we're thinking about what we really do need for staff. And also when the new treatment plant comes on, I think some people are anticipating that might, they'll change how we staff. And you mentioned with the SCADA, it changes how you're staffing. So are we going to be able to function well with the existing staffing levels given these changes?
We hadn't considered adding an additional water treatment plant operator because we were working those guys like dogs. he'll work 10, 12-hour days in a row in some instances. But we hesitated to do that because we didn't know what the staffing requirements were going to be on the new plant. And so we wanted to get into the new facility and operate it for a while before we made any decisions for FTEs in treatment. Okay, and keep in mind, the Public Works is not a big conglomeration of bodies that we use wherever we need to. I have water treatment plant operators that have special training. I have wastewater treatment plant operators that have special training. From the treatment side of things, our staffing levels are pretty appropriate at the moment. That comment aside on water treatment, I think that things will balance out with the new plant coming online. It's far more automated.
Yeah, when is that coming online?
We're doing startups right now. They're installing the filters as we speak. We're running all the wet checks. I'm expecting that we'll be doing efficiency testing on it here within a month and probably actually producing water by June.
So you'll have pretty much a full year of figuring that.
A full year of operation in this fiscal year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now we're going to do the handing the baton off to the city council members if they have anything to say. And then we'll end with the baton in the hands of the city manager. And he'll make his closing comments. And then we'll open it up to any public discussion after we, and then make the budget motion. David, you're on.
So just one question. I brought this up the past couple of years. In the building inspection fund, we have a fairly large contingency that stays pretty constant, but we're restricted by state law as to how we can use that money. Is there, it's roughly about $625,000. And I think way back before even Derek got on board, we talked about, you know, since, you know, planning fees and permits are a cost, is there, similar to an SOS fund, is there the ability to utilize some of that contingency to maybe help folks who, you know, might need that as far as a break on the total cost of moving forward on the building? And I think that was brought up as a potential use of the funds, because otherwise it basically sits a contingency and we can't transfer it out for any other use. So just a thought. I think when James Basingthwaite was here, he actually brought that up initially as a potential use. But I'm just throwing that out there because that is a pretty large sum of money that's sitting in somewhat of an obscure fund that we really have not been looking at and realistically as far as a good use for it. So that's just a point I want to bring up.
Could he have been using it for backfill on SDC charges?
It's restricted by state law, very restrictive, and I don't have the statute in front of me, but I did, you know, again, there's maybe ways we can use it. So.
Good point.
Very good. Sandy?
Just two quick comments. Last year, I remember that there were a lot of questions about line items for the Parks and Rec, and I want to give kudos for how that budget was put together. All those questions were answered, and you can know exactly where costs are going and income's coming in.
Jim Portiva, for a guy who's not a numbers person, he will be the first one to admit that, has done, in my opinion, a spectacular job. And I think I had mentioned before, he's been a royal pain, which is exactly where he should be. So he has been paying as close attention as any department head, and that's a huge change for him. That's a very positive thing, because even though it's a relatively small fund, all things considered, it's quite complex. You've got five major operations going on, and I just think he's done an exemplary job. He ought to be commended for it.
Yeah, well, very easily read. And then the other comment I have is going back to infrastructure, where the government in the 40s and 50s really helped out, and one of the ways they helped Newport was to give us the airport, which keeps on giving. So I guess in the funding of that particular area, I do hope that there can be an FBO, a private FBO, some of that terrible weight off the city.
Very good. Lon?
I asked a question at the last meeting and it wasn't answered, but it was promised to be answered at this meeting. Uh-oh. And if you can't answer it, I won't hold you to it. It was about Parks and Rec, since you just mentioned that anyway. I can't remember the line item. I think it was 4550, and it was an amount of $15,000. And Jim was going to get back to me on that one, and I haven't heard.
Jim Portiva was?
Yes.
And the question was, what is that source of money?
Yes, extra help. Mystery number. Students, extra help for summer games.
4550 is the revenue code. Was it the source of the revenue? 4550 is a revenue code.
There was a $15,000 item for officials for summer help.
Yeah.
For sports, that's a $15,000 item that I remember.
Is this land sales and services?
Is that the one you were asking my mom?
Well, that says that's only 1,300 here. I'm seeing the same miscellaneous.
He had 15,000 there for some extra summer help, part-time help.
Okay.
Because he said they have so many games and things going on, they have to have a budget to pay all those part-time coaches.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, all the part-time
people. I don't know why you can answer it, but it's not great. And I don't have any other questions, but I just wanted to comment that I thought that this was really well done. I want to compliment the staff that are here, as well as the invisible staff that do a lot of the work as well. It's really a nice presentation and left me with hardly any questions, which is
except one that we good. Couldn't answer.
Jeff?
Well, just a couple of comments, I guess. One, that I'm hoping we can look forward to and having an opportunity to talk to a person that helped sponsor the mountain bike race, who's an energy consultant that develops wind farms and solar energy. And I said, well, you know, we've got a great opportunity here for our rec center and perhaps your airport roof to put on solar. He said, well, why don't you do it? It was his question. And because there's tax benefits you can transfer over. So there's opportunities there. The other next item would be in room tax. I'm going to publicly make note that that I would hope that any money is that haven't been allocated towards the destination room tax funds that go to advertising could be transferred to the fund for tourist-related facilities. And of course, they would get their current budget every year. But it would encourage them to the savings that they derive, and especially if we have also additional funds come in that we budget for, I think you said, a certain percentage room tax every year. If we have a good year, we get an extra $100,000 coming in that was above appropriate in anticipated budget. That really ought to go into the tourist related facilities also. Then the other thing would be look for ways of, and people have touched on maybe some other areas that that appear to be costing money, and I'm certainly looking at that as our pool is dying. I'm part of a fund, a group that is proposing that a nonprofit take over those operations, limit the city's exposure that we have currently to the tune of $250,000 to $300,000 a year there, and find ways to maybe cap that to a certain loss if it needed to be at all. And that if a person is able to get this group together and make it so that a tourist-related facility can help provide a community facility, and that money would help carry forward to pay for the loss they would obviously have on a community pool. But that's just one option. I'm sure we have for our parks, and we have other areas we're looking for volunteers, and so I just want to encourage that to keep happening for our volunteers.
Good. Dean?
I have two comments, one good and one bad. One, I echo what Lon said. I think it was put together very well, and I appreciate the staff time, including the finance department, because I know you guys have been burning in the gun oil, and I really appreciate all the time of your staff. I guess the bad side is I'm still disappointed we really haven't talked about the issues that we left on the table last year. One is the police position that was cut last year. I thought we were going to revisit that this year, and we haven't. The second issue was the HR position that we cut last year, and I still think that's an extremely high priority for us, because to have an organization this size without an HR director is, in my opinion, not a good thing to have. So I really wish that we would take some time to discuss those two and find ways to put those back in the budget prior to adding these new positions that have been proposed.
Very good. That's all rolling towards the city manager there. All right, Mark?
I would reiterate what Dean said. I had a little discussion with David Marshall the other day about that, and I really feel like we need to do something about making sure that our police department can be at 100% FTE, where we expect them to be at all times. In other words, we have to find a way to create an option for them to continue to have somebody in the pipeline. And David mentioned the only thing, one way we could do that would be to add an FTE, kind of a floating FTE. I don't know how you mentioned that, but we need to have an extra FTE added. Maybe it's directly in the police department, knowing that we're never going to have that person fully hired all the time. We may have 10 people at one point, we may have 11 people once in a while, but we always have this problem. We can't really staff the Lint team. We're always running shorthanded at the policing department level, and I just feel like we really need to find a way, put money in the budget in order to always have that next person ready coming up. And I think that addresses what Dean was talking about, because we have a need to fill there, but we, even though we have a budget of a certain FTE, we never seem to get there. And so we never really provide the full services we think we want to provide through the budget. So I think that we have to find a way to do that. The second comment I would have is that the budget you have in front of you is based on a water rate increase that hasn't been fully discussed and vetted by the city council yet. So it's the same situation we were in a couple of years ago. We haven't really enacted these fees. We haven't enacted the stormwater fee, and we haven't enacted a water rate increase yet, at what percent. So expect that.
We're aware of that.
What you might approve or disapprove may be tweaked before the end of June.
I want to, before I pass the baton to the city manager, I want to compliment this young woman over here for attending our meetings. You're the only person from the city in the whole building, I think, and you've been very diligent, and I really appreciate the fact that you care and are concerned. Do you have anything you want to say, Wendy?
Well, simply to add to the public works, when they get the new meters in, I know the situation where somebody was having a plumber come into their home, and the plumber broke the pipes, so he ran outside to see if he could turn off the water in the city. Part. The only problem is he couldn't find the meter because that hedge had grown over it and had been like that for years. And it's not my hedge, by the way. But anyway, when they finally cut back the hedge far enough to actually get into the meter, this meter couldn't have been read for years. And I'm wondering how much more income is going to be coming in if we find all of these hidden meters and such. Instead of just guesstimating, as the city of Newport Water District had been doing before. And other than that, that's all I was
going to say. As he said before, sometimes you don't have a clue as to how to answer these questions because the information isn't in on it. I also want to remind you that there are many city committees that you can serve on. And you're here. By golly, you ought to get a hold of the city manager and find out what city committees you might be able to apply for, because you are a concerned citizen and you have asked some good questions, and that's what we need. We need more people like you. All right, the baton goes to our city manager, who opened us up, and he's now going to close us off.
Yes, and I'd like to first thank the budget committee for reviewing the budget and their comments. Very good and very helpful. Also want to recognize the tremendous amount of work that our staff did. And it's our department heads, it's our supervisors, it's all our employees, and particularly David and the finance department. These budgets are difficult to put together, particularly with the financial system that we have right now and how one fund is linked to another fund. So when you make a little change here, it may change this fund and this spreadsheet here, and it's very difficult to keep track of to make sure it all works, and David was able to do it, so thank you very much. The last thing I'd just like to point out is this is a holistic budget, and it was another challenging year to try to figure out how to make everything work, and a little change here means it has to come from someplace else. And again, a credit to our department heads and our staff and the finance department, we were able to find that balance. And we hopefully you appreciate the work that we did. So thank you very much.
I have a motion to make. I move to approve the City of Newport 2012-2013 fiscal year budget as submitted on May 8th, 2012.
Robert?
Yes.
Before you proceed on the motion, it probably needs to be revised to some extent, and let me let you know what the revision should be. We did get the budget submitted on May 8th, but we also had some revisions in part tonight on May 15th, so I would probably say the motion should read, I move to approve the City of Newport 2012-13 fiscal year budget as submitted on May 8, 2012, and revised in part on May 15, 2012. So we're incorporating tonight's changes that were handed out earlier tonight.
Wonderful. I love it. I move to approve the City of Newport 2012-2013 fiscal year budget as submitted on May 8, 2012, and amended in part by the budget presented on May 15, 2012. All in favor of this motion, say aye. Yes?
I'll second it.
Second, there is a second, I'm sorry. All right, I'll get to this in just a minute. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? David?
Yes.
You said we weren't going to do the one. Do you want to do this?
I would like for us to do that third one.
All right, fine. I have a motion just handed to me by the motion hander. I move to declare the permanent tax rate of 5.5938 and the estimated required property tax levy for the treatment plant bonded debt of $935,000 and the water treatment bonded debt of $750,000. What comment do you have on this, David? Anything?
No,
that's it. I move to declare the permanent tax rate of 5.5938 and the estimated required property tax levy for the treatment plant bonded debt of $935,000 and the water treatment bonded debt of $750,000. Do I have a second to this motion? We have a second to the motion. Janet Webster. All in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anyone opposed to this motion? I also want to commend the Budget Committee. Most of us have been around together for 2 or 3 years now, so we can see the progress we're all making. And the progress is because we have a new way to do things in town as far as our budget is concerned, and it really is making a difference. I imagine next year we'll be in such a good shape that we'll be able to clearly identify our role as much easier. But remember, we're not going to look at the Budget Committee as any kind of a rubber stamp at all. We asked some doggone good questions this year. And we made some great comments, and the city manager has gotten an earful from our work. I now adjourn this meeting. Thank you so much.
Okay. So we crossed out the first one. Okay. I just want to make sure we put this.
That was because.
Yeah. 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 And you still have. This was much for the wrong finance.
That's what I want to clarify.
Yeah.
That's okay. What's that?
We were doing that all.
I know you.